Welcome to the SDA Housing Podcast, brought to you by NDIS Property Australia. Before starting this episode, we need to provide a general disclaimer. Information contained in this podcast is general in nature only. It does not take into account the objectives, financial situation, or needs of any particular person. You need to consider your financial situation and needs before making any decisions based on the information in this podcast. And you should consider seeking independent and professional advice for your personal circumstances. All right, let's begin.
Hello, everybody. My name is Debbie from NDIS Property Australia, and you're listening to the SDA Housing Podcast, a show that explains, highlights, guides, and brings awareness about all things SDA in this ever-changing NDIS world. We have two very special guest speakers with us today. I'd like to introduce Amanda Gauci from Pulse Property Solutions. Did I say that right, Amanda?
Gauci, Gauci, I go by either, but yes, either. Great. Thanks, Den.
Excellent. And thanks. And also Kira Nicholson from Collective Design Agency. Welcome, ladies. Thank you for joining me today.
Thanks for having us, Debbie.
Yeah, thanks so much. Exciting to be here.
Yeah. So we're going to be talking today about a joint SDA development that you've both done. But firstly, I wanted to just maybe get you both to introduce yourselves, your companies, and what you actually do and where you're from.
Sure. Okay. So yeah, Pulse Property Solutions. Look, we're a family-owned business. We started 15 years ago. So essentially our background is in residential property development. We've mostly specialised in sort of villas, townhouse and small-scale apartments over that 15-year sort of journey. And we started looking into SDA. Well, we actually started looking into the possibility of developing respite accommodation about 5 years ago, which led us down the path of learning about NDIS and SDA, which was due to roll out about that time. And started our first SDA project 4 years ago and have since gone on to complete about 8 projects.
Fabulous. Awesome. Want to hear more about that for sure. Kira.
So I run Collective Design Agency and I'm a registered building designer, number 2 for WA. And as a building designer, we have a focus on accessibility, both in residentials and commercials. And I've had a big focus on this for a long time based on my lived experience. And we were introduced to Amanda by Lauren Hart and going down this path of doing SDAs, but doing it for the right reasons, not just a quick turnaround because it's a moneymaker. We do all of our developments based on, and any of our work based on having design for intent.
Yeah, sure. And that's really how it's got to be. Yeah, we were just talking before we started the recording of a lot of people in this area, unfortunately, for the wrong reasons. So really good to speak to people who know what they're doing, lived experience, journey as well. So great to hear what you do. Now, obviously, Amanda, you said this is about your 8th SDA project, but Kira, this is your first SDA project, and so it's your first joint project. So how did the concept come about? And tell us about the actual project and where it is.
Sure. Well, look, from the project perspective, we started looking for possible sites south of the river.
And this is Perth.
This is in Perth, yeah. So about mid 2022, we completed a couple of projects north of the river and in the eastern sort of suburbs, and really wanted to have some location and a presence south of the CBD. So, yeah, we went looking for land and, you know, we've got a pretty stringent checklist in terms of what we look for, location and access to amenity. And this particular site is very close to one of the largest shopping centres. I think it is the largest in WA. And there's a lot of amenity and medical, a lot of precinct around it. So, yeah, this was a sort of perfect block for what we were looking for. And we really wanted to be able to produce a mix of different SDA dwelling types or configurations on the site. So we've been recently introduced to Kira a few months before we sort of set about looking for that first site south of the river. And yeah, we knew there was a good alignment there pretty much from the first meeting. We're both, as Kira mentioned, I think, in it for those reasons, and very much the focus is always on the residents, you know, the customers and the people who will ultimately live there. And whilst we didn't have them identified at the beginning, we were working with the SIL provider and very much knew the sort of things that we needed in those rooms. So yeah, that's when we sat down with Kira and her team and went through the brief, which was to ideally create a mix of 1, 2, and 3-person share high physical support homes, which was Kira was able to achieve. It's always a bit of a very fine balancing act between, obviously, you've got your SDA design guidelines to adhere to, which is just one element of requirements. You know, then we've got planning requirements and BCA, NCC requirements. So it's not an easy task what Kira and her team need to do. But yeah, they did an amazing job. And the brief, you know, all of our homes that we do, we're very much looking for spaces that provide separation, but then also opportunity to come together. So multiple outdoor living areas, you know, multiple internal areas, some sort of informal places, be that, you know, the way we utilised carports and things like that to try and create potential places to, you know, for participants to engage on that social basis. So, yeah, so it was a great design. And, yeah, we've now just finished construction, which is very exciting to come out the other end.
Fantastic. So I take it this is a triplex?
Yes.
Yeah. So there are 3 dwellings, as you said, a 1-person, a 2-person, and a 3-person.
Yes.
Yeah. So here in WA, we have the R codes, and within those R codes, which is your planning format for designing any of your sort of residential dwellings or multiple or group homes, in that development is when we are designing them, it's orientation based on driveways to street frontages. So part of what Amanda was saying in regards to our design layouts was trying to incorporate that there is some separation for the front dwelling compared to the rear dwellings to allow us to have a nice flow of egress both on traffic as well as anyone, guests, and any residents coming in and out, rather than everyone on one driveway, which is part of the R codes, to actually then allow us to have a separation from the front to the rear too. So when we were doing the design and the concept, the brief that Amanda provided was really nice and detailed of exactly what she was wanting to achieve and why, to then be able to allow us to create and think of, well, if I place my grandfather in there, who at the time when he was around was a level of high physical, is how would he be able to access in and out of the spaces? Because you can't just do a donut on a wheelchair. It's, you've got to have the allowance to egress up to the doors, move past, move around if you want to get in bed, out of bed. And then where you're not putting a family in there, you're putting 3 or 2 different individuals together. They want their privacy. They want their acoustic separation. They don't want to be hearing the next person in the room just by the separation of one wall. So we design things to allow the separation instead of if you have a tunnel from the entry all the way down to the back of the living area and that's all you've got and you're directly opposite each other, you open the door if you want some circulation, you're seeing the other person. So we try and separate everyone so they're not directly opposite each of the other participants. So part of our design process as well with Amanda, because she's so experienced in this space, we work through the design together. So we put a concept together and then it allows flexibility and change so all parties can get involved. And what I like about what Amanda does is she works with Ability WA, that we have the providers actually making comments, because who knows their participants better than people that are providing the care. So then you get the feedback of any changes that have been overlooked over the design process that ultimately the people that they want to place in there know what is needed. So it allows all parties to have that comment.
Yeah. So going back to where you were just talking about, what was the end goal that, I guess, Amanda had when coming to you with this development? You know, were you always looking at 3 different dwellings, different levels of tenancy on it, or Where were you when you started?
So we were looking at, based on the size of the property, the intention was, can we fit three dwellings on it or do we have to fit two? So it's a link of, this is how many sort of tenancies we need to fit in. Is it possible based on the size and the zoning of it? We have an initial look of it and go, yes, we can certainly do that. And we look at overall designs. But our key points that we put down in the brief that Amanda always has is the separation for participants, courtyards for participants. The bedrooms need to have our minimum, which is the queen size bed. So at least if there's flexibility in bed size, it's their sizing. Building in, automatically building in tolerance for your building works, because if there's any variations, that's included. Having en suites for each of the participants, so that way they're not sharing toilets. Having a guest access to a toilet instead of going into any of the individual participants' rooms. Having flexibility in the kitchens, and also having all of the laundries having access both to staff and participants, but having them away from direct relation to the participants' bedroom, so it's not backing onto them and causing noise issues. Having covered access from parking areas to that. So there was a list, a very detailed list of what the intention was out of the design and who they were trying to get into in regards to. We weren't as specified of how many rooms in front unit to the rear unit. It was just looking at, with a combination, can we organise a positive flow and achieve the three different tenancies in any combination that we can review.
Yeah, and I mean, what you're talking about there is all best practice. As we know, what we've talked about a lot is the SDA design guidelines are your minimum, and in many cases, they're just nowhere near good enough. And for a house to work, it has to be built with so many extra levels that make it livable and workable. It's not just a home, it's also a workplace.
For sure.
Totally, yeah. So, Amanda, you did say that you started in 2022 looking for this site.
Yes.
So it's taken close to 2 years to complete?
It'll be it's a 21-month project, which is pretty much what we aim for. I mean, we'd like to turn them around quicker, but given the current environment, it's pretty challenging to deliver in anything less than that. And I think 21 months is, for, you know, creating three homes at the end of the day is, we're really happy with the way it's gone.
Yeah, because that timeline, I mean, I know that in Perth you've got quite a lot of challenges when it comes to council approvals.
Yeah, it is. And particularly this being a, you know, group dwelling, there's no pathway for us to just go straight to build permit. There was a fairly long, I mean, planning is really challenging. It's actually, Kira and I are working on another project tomorrow at the moment that we won't talk about because it's so frustrating, but it's just taking way longer than it should, and it's not getting any better. It's probably getting worse, unfortunately. Which, you know, we understand there's a lot of resourcing issues with local government, and yeah, it just is what it is, unfortunately. But this one went reasonably smoothly, but you're still talking a 3-4 month planning process, really, by the time you create the documentation and then seek that approval. And then, you know, we have a lot of consultants involved in the working documentation stage. Every SDA project that we undertake is a class 3 building with fire sprinkler protection. So that does require more engagement with more consultants than perhaps your typical class 110. So, and that's fine. We'd rather, if it takes us a little bit longer, but we feel we're getting, you know, a better result at the end of the day. So yeah, no, we're really happy with the time frame, and the builder's done an amazing job turning around the construction in under 12 months. So, yeah, it's been really good.
Fantastic. So, obviously, time frame was good. You're happy with how it went. There were challenges that you would expect with approvals and whatnot. But what other challenges did you find with this particular project?
Oh, look, I think from our perspective, construction, although it went smoothly from a time frame perspective, that's not without a lot of hard work. And I think we're fortunate that because we've been in the development space for well, 15 years we started the business, but there's the family has a longer history of development prior to that. So we're fortunate we've got some really long-standing relationships and, you know, a lot of the team we've been working with for 20 years plus. So, you know, we're lucky, I think, in terms of how we can turn things around, but we're still faced with the same challenges of, particularly in WA, we've had a, you know, we're competing with a mining boom over the last couple of years, which does take a lot of labour out of the market. There's obviously been supply issues over the last few years. Post COVID, we had a huge amount of construction activity with the government stimulus post COVID. I think more so than any other state, the stimulus that the state government offered on top of the federal was very generous, which was a blessing, I think, at the time for the industry, but now some might consider it a curse, but it certainly stimulated activity. But I think more so than anyone anticipated, and there's no shortage of, I mean, that doesn't look like it's slowing down at any time soon. So yeah, it's challenging to deliver projects in those timeframes. Requires just, yeah, a really good team that are really dedicated, really passionate, and lots of communication, and, you know, actually, to be honest, to get the results that and the level and the high quality that we, I guess, require and expect, our costs have considerably increased over the last few years on a construction side. So, but yeah, all in all, I wouldn't consider it a highly challenging project, but yeah, it certainly hasn't been easy the last few years.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I was going to say the builder that worked with Amanda on this one is really experienced and understands SDAs and accessible requirements. So there wasn't any challenge on that aspect because he'd done multiple before. It'd be different if you had a residential builder that had no understanding of this. So didn't understand reinforcing, didn't understand slopes and gradients, didn't understand step-free entry, didn't understand any of the variants tolerances that are required or any of the slip resistant flooring needs, but he was all over any of that and things that he wanted. We put a fair bit of details in the plans and he said, no, I've got a lot of these areas addressed. So he was taking a lot more detail and understood himself without us need too much detail into it. And then on site, if he had anything that he didn't agree with us, we were out on site and we had updates and review instead of we've done the plans, washed our hands, and then we're off. Everyone had communication together. So if there were any concerns or changes, it was addressed and brought up so we could review and make sure that across the board, not only us as designers, but any of Amanda's other designers were able to then be notified of any changes that needed to come into play. So the communication is really important on all parties, on plans, and then passed into construction.
For sure, yeah. And, you know, it is interesting to note that I often just speak to investors who say, oh, you know, do you know NDIS approved builders who can do these? And I think it's not really commonly known that builder doesn't need to have any kind of NDIS approval to build one of these. They just need to build to the requirements. But because it is so specific and so challenging to make sure that you meet those, yeah, having someone who is experienced can make a massive difference, for sure. So who actually funded this project? Was this self-funded by Pulse Property Solutions, Amanda, or did you have investors?
Yeah, self-funded. So we, as I mentioned, we are a family-owned business. So, yeah, it is our funds in that we, well, bulk of the equity anyway. And then we do rely on some finance to assist with, you know, some of the development costs, but yeah, ultimately it is funded by the group.
Yeah, great. And so obviously it's completed now. Is it enrolled as yet with the NDIA?
Any day now it might be once I open my inbox, but yeah, everything's lodged. So yeah, we've got occupancy, we've got as-built design certs. So yeah, everything has been lodged and we're just waiting for that to be reviewed, but we're not anticipating any issues. So yeah, it's great to be at this stage of the project.
Brilliant. And now tell me about tenants.
So yeah, look, we pretty much about half. So of the, I guess there's six rooms in total across those three properties. So we have tenants for half of those. So we're still, the way we work it is we do, you know, we've been working with a silt provider over the course of the development, and we jointly, I guess, market and actively, you know, engaging with participants about, you know, future residency there. So it is very much a joint effort, and we do find that until the projects reach completion, particularly being high physical support, so most of the, well, all of the residents so far are wheelchair users, and it is challenging to arrange access visits prior to, you know, paving and all those final stages. So it's really only been in the last couple of months that we've been able to open up the homes and be able to show people through, because I think it is such a big decision where you live, and certainly I think most people want to touch and feel and see before making that commitment. And we also, you know, we're very careful and I guess considered in that whole tenancy matching process. Obviously, that's not really a consideration with the single resident villa there. That's fairly straightforward. But in the two-person share and three-person share, that's something we do spend a lot of time on. And we don't just because someone has SDA approval in their plan at, you know, at the required amount, doesn't mean that, yeah, we just sign them up and let them move in. There's a lot of work done between ourselves as the registered SDA provider and also with Ability WA, who are the care provider for this one, to make sure we get that right, because it's, you know, it's so important for the participants and it's so important for just the ongoing, you know, how successful those homes are likely to be. So we're happy to take a little more time and try and get that right, and obviously engage the tenants in that process as well. So yeah, look, we're really comfortable with where things are at, given that we really only just got the keys last week. So
yeah,
we're happy with the process to date.
Fabulous. That's really good news. Yeah, obviously tenancy matching is such a big part of it. And this is their forever home.
Yeah.
I think a lot of investors, when they're looking at this, don't really understand that. They just think, great, this is a three-tenant home. We can get three tenants in there. End of story. Done.
Yeah.
Oh, when it's numbers running, that's a clear indication it's the wrong reason to be going in.
Absolutely.
Do 100% housing. You can go and you can end up doing different models or different items because you have such a high turnover, you can get higher numbers that way. But when you're getting developers and real estate agents saying you're getting certain inflated percentage returns, you've taken the humanity out of dignified living and independence.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that, Kira. That's exactly what it is. And unfortunately, there's just too much out there that's being sold just based on spreadsheets and numbers, and that's not what it's about at all. I mean, obviously an investor needs that income, but yeah, the question is, would you put your own mum or dad in that house?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And would you go in there yourself? If you're not prepared to put yourself or your family member in there, don't even think about it.
Yeah, precisely. Well, look, that sounds fantastic. I want to come and see it because it sounds like a great
come over there,
brain project that you wrote together.
I'll be on the flight next week.
Obviously, yeah, being your first journey together into SDA development, and you are working on another one.
Yep,
you mentioned that you don't want to talk about yet.
We've got two other ones. One more's in construction, and the other one we don't want to talk about. That's still in the lovely planning process.
Right. Yep.
So working together, I think it's fantastic. So we always look for people that we can work with that have communication all the time. And none of us are perfect in how we do things. But when you get feedback, good or bad, you can review, amend and change. And Amanda has helped us to actually lift things to a whole new level, how we do things based on like our addendas. She does them at a whole different level. So in that is taking a bit more time and care into review things. Everything is accounted for. Working with the builder that she works with, has helped us come out and just blood, this has worked or that hasn't worked. So then we've reviewed, or if something, say color selections or material selections have worked in a design from one of the other designers, we've imported it into the other concepts. So we've got materials that are working or design solutions, and it's being open to communication, because lines on plans are easy to move and you can amend things and change things. But once you have it in solid form, it becomes really expensive and it can be detrimental to people if you don't consider and review things correctly up front.
Oh, absolutely. I totally understand that point. I say this word a lot, collaboration. And this is such a complex area, and it can't be done without a lot of collaboration and communication, as you said, between all the different parties involved to get it right. And you do want to get it right first up, because you've already gone through so many headaches and issues along the way. So you've got to at least do what you can right.
Yeah,
from the outset. Well,
definitely. It is. I mean, we've developed a lot of different types of buildings, I guess, over the last 15, 20 years. And this would have to be probably the most complex and complicated in terms of the compliance. And I think, you know, there's so many ambiguities and, you know, it's open for interpretation and things, contradictions between different codes and regulations that it is very challenging. And even, I guess, yeah, this is the eighth project that we've finished. We are still learning so much every time. And that's where it's been great working with Kira, because, you know, she's so keen to, you know, when can I come on site? I want feedback. And that's, it's like a kid in a candy store every time I go, you don't go to site. Which is great, because a lot of designers and architects are, I've designed it. Now it's, you know, it's your problem to build it. And, you know, it can cause a bit of friction between builders and consultants and designers. But I think when we've got that open communication and collaboration, and nothing was too much trouble, or yet we can change that. And because we've got other projects, as Kira mentioned, that we're working on together, it's been great, because whatever we learn from one project, we just keep rolling that in and try and, you know, try for that continuous improvement, because, and there's so many things changing, and just from even from a, you know, all the finishes and selections, because we are the ongoing owner of these properties and the SDA provider, we're certainly seeing what works, what doesn't work. Just because that was the most expensive option doesn't mean it's the best. I mean, we've even had AS1428 products that come out and they're not even AS1428 compliant, which just blows your mind. But, you know, all these things that you learn as you go. And yeah, and it, as I said, Kira, it's never been, oh, but that's what we agreed, sorry. It's just been great. How can we make this better? How can we improve on it going forward? And yeah, it's been a really successful relationship. And, you know, we hope it certainly continues on for many years to come.
Mm, same. That's so great to hear. We found in doing anything, if we've interpreted something that's not working, we'd sit down and have a resolution. And it's good, instead of just being, I just want it resolved, it's having the discussion of, well, could we do it this way or could we do it that way? Because ultimately, when we're dealing with, say, for example, councils, there is no understanding of the Australian standards that we're talking about. They don't understand, but just make rooms smaller. It's, hang on, wait, no, your footprint is bigger. You just have to put the justifications in to do the bigger footprint to justify the reasons and intent of the design. And Amanda is brilliant in that, pushing back on councils. And it's just the two of us together have been, have found just such a response on working with councils, because there is such a lack of understanding. And if you're just going to do, oh, I'll do it all within the R codes or within the new medium density codes, you will fit either shoeboxes in, or you will have properties that are being developed that are so far away from infrastructure because it's easier. And then what is the point? The whole reason is, when I consult with people in this design space, I'm like, okay, well, consider parts of the front door, get out onto the footpath, can you utilize a footpath and how far do you have to go to the shops? Because the carers are not coming in 24/7 to use the vans. A lot of times if they want to go out by themselves, you will be having, like if you just go, oh, I want to go see a friend down the road, or if I want to go to the shops, that's the whole point of an SDA, is having independence. But if you're going to stick them in the middle of Whoop Whoop and then there's no infrastructure, why? Why be away from family? Why be away from your friends? You're not going to jump on a plane and go to some foreign country and leave your family and friends behind unless you've got some objection to get there. Same thing is when you do SDAs, it's a consideration of where it is infrastructure, where are families, so that way you're creating a life in this new space. So working together with Amanda is great because she considers all of that, where the placement is, where the shops are. We've learned a lot more over the SDA space with Amanda and all of the community that's involved with doing these developments.
You guys are a powerhouse team, I have to say. I'm looking forward to more of your developments.
So am I.
Well, just to finish up, is there anything else you'd like to tell us about this first project you've done together?
Thanks, Amanda.
No, thank you. No, look, I think, as I said, it's been a real success. I mean, we can all talk about war stories on projects and the pain that we go through because, as I said, you know, it isn't easy and there are so many people involved in, you know, what you may drive down the street and not even sort of blink and, you know, past it and, you know, they do just look like, I guess, a standard home at the end of the day. But it is, you know, it's a real, the thing we always try and brief the team on is, you know, trying to create these beautiful homes that, you know, that we all want to live in. I mean, most of these homes that we build are nicer finishes than the old home I live in at the moment. You know, it's how do we create these spaces that, you know, that everyone wants to live in. And that's quite challenging when you're trying to blend that with all the compliance requirements and you know, we don't want to create homes that feel like that hospital type institutional feel. Not that the design guide pushes towards that, but just I guess by the nature of, you know, of the requirements, it's easy to have that as a finished product. But it's a real fine craft, I think, to be able to, and we can, you know, we can put it whatever we like in a design brief, but at the end of the day, you know, it's like Kira who comes in and brings that kind of vision to reality. And it's not easy. It's not easy to be able to be thinking about all the compliance requirements, but then also overlay that with, you know, we want a really beautiful home and a nice finish. So yeah, not everyone has that, I guess, skill set. And I think you have to be passionate about it. And, you know, Kira clearly is, because that really is the difference. And I think we've already mentioned that today. I think there's other things you could be doing if you just want to, you know, make money or do development or whatever angle it is you find yourself in SDA. But if you're not passionate about it, it's probably not for you. And you know, we get contacted quite regularly by, you know, mum and dad investors that have seen, and you know, they pop up on my Facebook feed all the time, and I'm sure a lot of you can relate to that, but that, you know, the spruiking and all these returns that are touted, it's not what it's about. And I think if you start with that as your goal, it's a pretty slippery slope. And I think, yeah, the thing that does work is having that focus, you know, having that focus on really who is ultimately going to be living in these properties. And that's how we always start, from, you know, site selection through design, construction. We're always having conversations around, well, you know, if I was a wheelchair user, or if I was this, how am I going to get from there to there? Or, you know, when we're standing on site, that's how the conversations are always based around, not so much, you know, what's going to be the biggest return on investment, or what's, you know, what's the cheapest products we can put in here? Because I think it is, SEA is definitely a long-term game. It's not a short in and out. And I think you really do have to have that kind of 20-year plus horizon. Otherwise, it's it's probably not something you should be looking to get into.
Yeah, because if someone's a mum and dad investor and looking to get into property in itself, and then someone goes, oh, have you heard of this opportunity? Take it back a step. If you want to do dignified living, start with an LHA home, because as Debbie, as you and Min have mentioned, STA is a very, very small percentage of the total NDIS, and you've got so many people that do not qualify for it yet are stuck in the rental situation. If you talk to any of the SIL providers that are do in-home living, the biggest thing that they'll say is a hobless shower. Just give us a hobless shower. If you can't give us anything else, just that. Because if you do housing situations in that size, and especially with the medium density code, that you can give more housing per standard house, design them differently, and then you can still get returns in that and not have to be stuck in a situation afterwards where you don't get the funding unless you have people in there. If that's your focus, it's a wrong way around. Start with standard housing and then slowly build yourself up in that manner. Don't try and put people into boxes and then have the commission that we've had, which people are being ostracized and locked up and completely opposite to the intent of NDIS. The NDIS was there put in place because so many people were having their kids as their carers or family members as their carers, and they were burning out at such a rate. They needed help and they needed funding for the assistance. If it's just been getting used as a cash cow, it's the wrong reason, and it won't be sustainable. It has to be refined, and certain design categories will have to be removed out of it because it won't be sustainable. So it's look at different options, talk to experts in this industry that know what is actually happening, talking to disability providers first before you jump down the end of the real estate amounts of returns. Change your perspective and change your conversation and have a talk first. It's like when we learn anything, you've got to go through the path of learning before you can jump in and action.
Absolutely. Understand how the system works, do your due diligence, and be doing it for the right reasons. And we've seen, we're now seeing, unfortunately, the result of a lot of people not doing that and just jumping in for the returns, buying the wrong product in the wrong place. We're seeing vacancy levels go up and empty homes in all these new estates that are cropping up in the outskirts of the big cities. And, you know, these people are hurting. And if they're not hurting, they're actually going under, and it's really sad because they just saw the dollar figures. And as you say, Kira, that's not what this is about.
No, because once it's enrolled, that's it. You've got to unenroll it before someone else can live in it.
That's it. Yeah, precisely. Well, anyway, I think that wraps up this conversation today. I'm really loved hearing about the project and look forward to hearing about the next one or two that are coming up. I think you're doing an amazing job. Congratulations. And thank you so much for joining us today. And I'm sure that we've got a lot of listeners out there who really have gained something from this.
Well, thank you for having us on.
Yeah, thanks, Debbie. It's been a pleasure. Really enjoyed it.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure you are subscribed and following us so you can keep in the loop with all of our upcoming episodes. We would really appreciate it if you could leave us a 5-star rating, a written review, and to share this podcast with those that could benefit. Until next time, catch you on the next episode.